Hello, patrons. It's the Roleplay Far Verona post show. What episode is this? 24? It's 24. This is the 24 post show. Hi, everybody. Hello. So, these episodes are always kind of a bit weird because it's like, I'm going to introduce a bunch of new information to you. And I kind of tried to like turn some of that energy over to you guys for those like initial scenes, which I know is like kind of intense when being put on the spot to be like, cool, what happens now, Mark? What happens now? But how did you guys feel about that? What'd you think? That kind of like getting to set a scene for yourselves?
It was cool. Like, I felt like I had this kind of long-term goal just in the back of my mind over the past 24 episodes, you know, that it's just been kind of sitting there. And so it was just like kind of a cool opportunity to be like, okay, like now I'm going to like actually dive into this. And then we'll see where that goes. So
yeah,
it is like kind of scary being like, I would like to do this thing and putting it out there.
Yeah. I really liked now I have this thing. Cause I was trying to figure out for Mark, for your characters, like, cause the conspiracy is already out in the open for all of us in that, like the Trillion and the church are just buddies and there's just a lot of money flowing back and forth between the two. And I didn't want to have to be like, cool, Gabriel, you go looking for a conspiracy, but like, it's not a conspiracy. It's just like, just shady church. Like, this is what
just
it is.
How they just work. Yeah.
That's just how they are. But I really like the addition of some kind of conspiratorial something or other going on with the Serpent's Assassin. Like that spices it up for me in a way that makes me like interested in putting some stuff together for it. Cause I've been thinking about that snaky boy and what to do with them. So I like that ties the two of you together into this kind of conspiracy thing. And I think that'll be a fun subplot for us to kind of chase for those characters.
Yeah. And even I saw people in chat that were just like, oh, cool. We're like actually going to talk about this, because that was kind of a big plot element where like there was this assassination and this person is just like somewhere being held in captivity. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just kind of like, okay, that happened. And now we're like in the present doing other stuff. So it was like maybe a thing that we would never really talk about or need to talk about ever. But instead I was like, actually, this is my long-term goal. So.
Right. And I really like that, because for me, the big mysteries of the campaign, I've been reserving them for myself, right? Folks will ask me like, hey, can we write this thing about like how Cygnus? I'm like, no, I need to save that. And I'm saving it for the show. And so having a character interested in something, having a player be like, I want to learn more about this, means that I can use the show as an example. And like, because otherwise I would just write something and be like, okay, this is what happens with the Serpent's Assassin. So it'll be fun to be able to track that through the show. And I think that it's sort of deeply connected to a bunch of different stuff that's happening in the setting. And I think it's important, and I'm glad we don't have to see it kind of fall by the wayside. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I hope it's cool to like do the kind of mixed group things, because I feel like with Gabriel at the moment, like you said, like he believes in this conspiracy that isn't really there, and I'm not quite sure where I'm trying to take him as a character, and because he's kind of in that lost phase, like he doesn't really know what he's doing, and he doesn't know why he's doing stuff anymore, and he's a bit, you know, he doesn't have any guidance that he needs. And that kind of plays into me as a player, because then it leaves me in a position of like, well, when you ask for like goals, or you ask for like, you know, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know if I know anymore, because, you know, the original idea I had for him has kind of fallen to the wayside, and I'm not quite sure how to turn him into a new character now. And I need to figure that out. So for me, being able to jump on and help another character with a plot point, and it made the most sense for him to go to Nomi, who's the squad leader, rather than Booker or Bicky, who he doesn't know. And I kind of feel like I need that to at least, you know, give something to start off with, and then maybe I can kind of like plot a new course away from it. But I hope it is cool to play that way and to kind of
I was gonna say the hardest thing to play is a character that doesn't know what they want, right? Because then you're like, what do I do? Like, what do I do with this character? Like, in any given moment, you're just like, well, I'll follow whatever the group is doing, because you don't really have your own personal drive. So it's nice seeing those things get developed. It's nice to have that going on. Like, my preference is that everybody has like shit that they want that isn't just like the mission is just there to give you something to do when everybody is like, well, what should we do now as a group? But everybody has their own reasons for doing stuff, which ties into what the goals are there for, right? Like to reward you for pursuing your own shit in addition to the regular XP you get for resolving your missions. And yeah, like I like the idea of connecting, because that's again a way to get out of that I don't know what I'm doing as a character thing, where you're like, well, maybe you and I can work together to have this mission together. We're going to have our subplot. And they do, I mean, they do that in TV shows, right? Where there's like, this is what today's episode is about, but we're going to spend, you know, 10 minutes in the episode on the Gabriel Nomi assassin conspiracy subplot. And we'll like thread that through the show. So yeah, I think that's totally cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of feels like to me, like being able to kind of almost take like a little bit of a back seat and be more of a support character who's there to like, hey, you tell me what you need me to help you with and I'll help you do it whilst I figure what I want to do myself is quite good to have that. Because I guess it's also I don't get to play too often. So this is kind of throwing me for a loop.
Yeah. Well, what's hard about that particular approach, right? Where you're like, you know, I'm here to like help other people achieve their goals, is that actually puts pressure on those people to decide what the goals are, right? You can get into a position where everybody Canadian standoffs, where we're like, I just want to help you get your goals done. I just want you to help. And like, nobody's actually being like, this is what we're fucking doing. Which can be really, really tricky. So it's cool to like be able to address that, like as a group, and to say, okay, who's going to be a person pushing on us getting progress, and who's going to be the one that's going to kind of like back that up and watching that shift back and forth? I think is it's a good way to like keep the stuff going, keep the game moving. So right now, obviously, like Nomi, you're the center of that, right? Where Bicky is here to protect you, Booker is your backup guy, and now the Crusader seems to kind of be like, yeah, I'll do whatever Nomi wants, which is an opportunity for Nomi, certainly. So I'm interested in seeing that.
Yeah, and I like the conversation with the captain being like, this is an opportunity, potentially. Well, who knows? You know, this is a good way to like absolve ourselves of any kind of actual guilt. And that's something that I've been kind of like thinking about, and that has been like a subtle machination that has just been going on in the background with like talking to the captain and like talking to Yancey and kind of undermining him in a way with like letting Bronze's last character just like leave, you know, and like that kind of stuff, where I've been like, I think, putting things in place a little bit and just waiting for the moment. So I'm excited to kind of pull at that thread a little bit more too, to see where that goes.
Yeah,
maybe we have Bicky murdered Yancey at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, no, like that's the thing. Like that would be a real significant. You'd have to hide that shit real good, because if Yancey gets killed, you know, mommy and daddy are gonna be like,
"Yeah,
the fuck, did this happen?" And they're gonna be like, everybody
and the Richter at the same time,
right? And the Richter is like, Yancey is his little like. His little buddy. So yeah,
he accidentally turned off life support in his quarters before he went to bed, because he's fucking stupid.
We had a secret. He was cleaning an airlock
and it just opened.
It just popped open and he got sucked out of space. Yeah, weird. And that illustrates kind of the tenuous position that the Deathless have, in that they have no, because they're serfs basically, but they don't belong to any of the specific nobility. They kind of have they live on their utility, and their utility is like deniability, right? Like Deathless companies have in history fought each other for nobles who are not allowed to fight, where they're like, well, we can't agree on who should own this planet, so I'm gonna hire 10,000 Deathless mercenaries and you hire 10,000 Deathless mercenaries, and we'll just proxy war until one of us gives up, because we can't afford to buy any more mercenaries. So on a lower level, this idea of like, well, you know, if you were to find an excuse to kill this dude, you have to find a way to get out of it or be protected by a noble, because it's still murder. Killing a noble is still murder, even if you're a Deathless. It's just that Nomi has now been offered this potential, like, here's a tool. I'm going to see how you use it. If you choose not to, that's fine. But like, you know, these are things that do occur from time to time. So yeah, I think that's interesting. Bronze, I'm curious to see for you, like, do you have thoughts about, I gotta find a way to like phrase this and not sound like a jerk. Do you have thoughts about how to play this character without the character not having anything to do except whatever she's told by Nomi? Like that's something that I'm curious about, is like what Bikki wants for herself. Cause playing the bodyguard is fun, but it's very reactive.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, it's weird because I do have like this extensive backstory of who she used to be and what her allegiances are now other than the Deathless. But in terms of like ambition, nothing she really wants comes from her. Like, she's not seeking a higher station, or she's kind of very much like seeking a paycheck and something to do. And I'm sure at some point we'll get into that more later. The question Arnahan asked of like, what do you do with all your money and all of that, actually kind of threw me off, because I never figured that would be asked to me this early. I figured that eventually that would be something that's like, so what do you do with all your money? You know, like you do all this fucked up shit for money. What do you do with your hordes of credits? And there is an answer to that question, but I wasn't ready to get into it today, and I don't think Arnahan would be the person I would tell. But it definitely threw me a little bit for a loop, because I was like, oh, damn, I didn't expect somebody to ask me that.
Right.
Like on episode 2, like, hey, what do you do with all the fucking money you make? yeah, but right now she's very money motivated. She's very much like, and she's very, and we'll see it more and more, she's kind of like depressed. So she very much immerses herself in her work. And we touched on a little bit where there's a reason she doesn't use her full name, because that's taken from somebody who died, and she feels sad when she talks about it. So she's very troubled, and she's very quiet and artistic, and she just wants to work and earn a paycheck, and she's kind of just existing right now, which I think is a great character to role play, but a tough character to create goals for, because she is kind of just like existing right now.
And that's the trick, right? The more that we imagine the backstory of our characters, and this goes for like GMing too, like you could sit down and you can spend, you know, a week world building, but your characters are only ever going to interact with whatever's in front of them for the 4 hours a week that you're actually playing the game. So having a big long backstory is cool and very helpful for saying like, what is my character thinking? What mindset are they in? But it doesn't necessarily give you action to take in the moment to be like, what are you doing right now? And you're like, well, I have sadness in my backstory. And it's like, but what does it manifest in action in now? Which is super challenging. So yeah, I don't know, maybe we figure something that Bikki can do that shows us some of that backstory, some concrete thing. I'll take a look, because you said you're gonna send it to me. I'll take a look at it and we can kind of brainstorm a little bit, like a thing that we can show off Bikki's like personhood rather than her like human gunness in a meaningful way.
It's like somebody who shows up at work every day, clocks in, does what they need, and clocks out. How do you ever get the opportunity to be like, so what's your long term, what's your 10-year plan here? You know, it's like she's that person who just kind of comes in, does the stuff, and then leaves, you know? So that opportunity for that interaction never happens. It's not like Booker's just going to come up to her and be like, so tell me about your life. Like, that's not going to happen. So it's like,
Yeah. Though Booker did have a bit of a conversation like that at the beginning of today's episode. I thought that was great. That bit about like Booker, I thought there was a lot going on in that conversation with Nicola. And I thought it was really cool how you were like acknowledging both that Booker was unwilling to talk about himself, and there was a moment where he was invited to be like, Booker, you're having some feelings, let's talk about that. And you're like, how about instead we talk about you? And it just completely, and she fell for it, right? And just completely redirected it. What did you think of that? What did you think of that conversation when we were doing that? I was enjoying the hell out of it, but what did you?
That was fun. I enjoyed that. It was very much like you said, a lot of stuff going on there. Booker kind of like being able to hint towards a little bit of things that are going on with Booker, but he's just kind of unwilling to talk about them. And then Booker was just realizing like what's going on and where the conversation was headed. And he's like, well, I'm going to detective you real quick and switch that around.
yeah. Yeah, I thought that was good. Yeah, I think probably Nicola, in her efforts to like find some purpose in her life, might go to the captain and be like, "Hey, so maybe we need a ship's counselor." In which case, we're gonna get more conversations like that with Nicola, where she's like, "Gabriel, how did you feel about shooting that man with your laser arm?"
Excellent.
Which is, yeah, right. I felt good. Can you talk more in feelings words? Good isn't a feeling. Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, maybe that's good, but I like that Booker, who is this traditionally like kind of gruff dude that doesn't really want to talk about himself or his feelings, ended up aiming someone else to finding some purpose. I think that was a nice moment. I am curious to see like Booker in a more like high society setting, because there's definitely going to be some of that, right? Where the only place to meet with somebody is going to be like at a big party or whatever. And so, yeah, so seeing Booker in that space should be interesting. What are you thinking about in Booker. Terms of, right? And that conversation was great. Is like, I'm not a noble. Yeah, you are though.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious about seeing like Booker, other people Booker might be like, he might know or is related to, and kind of getting some access to like the last time Booker was on Imperial Primer, like who is here that knows.
I have him? No doubt that you're going to have somebody, whether it be his dad or his mom or somebody from from Booker's life that is going to attempt to maybe embarrass him or whatever. But either way, it'll make for good conversation.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that probably Booker would run into somebody that he was like supposed to get married to, like back when Booker was a younger dude, where his parents were like, we have this great match for you, right? She's like, she's a Fornax and her family has a ton of money and they run a shipyard and you should marry her. And then you didn't for whatever reason, because you're like, no, I have to go be a cop. And now she's got her like new husband or whatever, and you meet her at a party or something. And I'm, yeah, like that's the kind of thing I'm interested in seeing this, like the leftover remnants of a life that Booker never led. Because I think we see Booker more than any other characters. Booker feels to me like a person who is now, like he's not going to suddenly change paths, right? Booker isn't going to like set down his cop outfit and become something different. Like this is a man who would probably sooner die than change. And so it'll be cool to see instead, looking back, like what Booker used to be or what life he could have led if he had stayed. So maybe something to think about, because I'm certainly interested in that. And I'd love to kind of dig into it a little bit with you, Max.
Yeah, I think that'd be, either way, it's going to be fun to explore that. It's part of the reason why I've been looking forward to finally getting to Imperial Prime.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I think that'll be fun. And I'm, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, there's a bit of like lore heaviness at the beginning, but from here on, I think we just focus on kind of one candidate at a time. And I'm excited to see. I'm going to weave this other thing, as you saw at the end. There's going to be this other plot line of like people who are after Nomi or something, right? The bad threat that is under the radar while you're trying to do your job. And then you guys can bring in your own little threads for your personal stuff as we go. I think it'll be a good arc. I'm looking forward to it. Cool. Well, I think that's it. I think that's our episode. Thanks for coming, and thanks again for rescheduling, everybody. We will not have an episode next week because I'm going to be away for a week in LA doing LA stuff, and then we'll be back after that. But folks who are part of the Patreon, we have the February faction turn on the 1st of February. So that's the first thing I'm doing the day after I get back. That morning, it's at 10 a.m. So if you've been watching the faction turn stuff, we'll be doing that that morning, and then we'll be back for the shows the week after. So, thanks for coming, everybody, and for doing an episode, and we will see you next time.
We never told them how I got garroted, but...
No, keep it a secret. Don't tell anybody.
That's a tale for another time.
Till next
time.
Yeah,
exactly. That's right. Shush, secrets.
Big tip. Okay, bye.